Welcome back to Orlando, Florida, CPAC 22, Lindell TV, Brandon House here, and we are so honored to have with us in the media booth live a man we've interviewed over and over. He's highly, highly, highly in demand. You see him on Laura Ingraham. You see him on so many shows. Dr. Peter McCullough and his lovely wife. I told him he punted past his coverage, just like I did. And so Dr. Peter McCullough and his lovely wife are with us as well. Dr. McCullough, welcome to Lindell TV.
Well, thanks so much for having me. My wife, Maha, is here, and we're deeply indebted to what you and your family have done with independent media.
But you're not indebted because you are the voice of reason. We're indebted to you because where else will we get this medical information to offset the propaganda?
But it takes courageous media to bring the information
so
forward.
Effort.
So many of my patients say, listen, I've got to listen to Brandon House. And they are perceptive, they are challenging, and they vary in age, which is really,
wow,
it's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you. First of all, your pin.
You know,
tell me about your pin.
My pin is a point of pride. My son is an Eagle Scout. He's a third-year medical student.
Wow.
He's following in the footsteps. He was a four-year NCAA athlete for Baylor.
Wow.
And he's doing wonderful work down in Houston. Who knows what types of challenges he'll face in medicine?
Right.
The healthcare has changed. The pandemic has changed healthcare.
Yes, it has. Well, we want to talk about some of that, the pandemic. Veronica, don't go anywhere. Veronica, she was born in Ukraine. I think we should talk to her now, don't you? My word, with all that's going on over there. But when it comes to the healthcare issue, I've been interviewing doctors. I think you know some of them. Dr. Angelina was here the other day with me. And many of these doctors are now setting up mini hospitals or micro hospitals. It looks like we're going to be going more and more to micro hospitals where you could have a subscription or a membership, you know, and I could pay and go, or concierge doctors, because the whole healthcare system's changing, isn't it? I mean, we're hearing doctors saying, if you don't have the shot, you're no longer my patient.
Well, it's not only just the status of having the shot, but I'm overloaded with patients, and the patients come to me, they are discerning. Most of them have said, the reason why I'm changing to you, Dr. McCullough, is I want a doctor who does critical thinking. They know that everything has risks and benefits. Everything needs an interpretive analysis. There isn't a one-size-fits-all in anything in life, and patients know it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. So tell me the latest news. I mean, whenever you come on my show, you always have the latest news. And a lot of times, because you're so busy, I'm so busy, we don't have time to do pre-interviews. So I don't really know what it is you know new. So what I do is I just let you go because you always have the latest news and information. So I'm just going to let you go and you tell it to us.
Well, a critical update. So let's look at where we are in the pandemic. We are now through the Omicron outbreak. Omicron was about a two-month outbreak. It had the tallest curve of any outbreak. It was easily 5 to 10 times what Alpha and Delta. Those were our
two
prior outbreaks.
When you say the highest curve, what does that mean?
That means the most people had it at one time.
Wow.
The most people had it at one time. But it was a unique outbreak in that the virus had mutated. It was far less invasive. It was slightly more contagious, and it replicated so much more quickly in the nasopharynx. It wasn't so invasive because it had lost some of its virulence or its damaging effects in the body due to the mutation. So we actually changed our strategies. And we learned through 12 supportive studies that one of the best ways to handle Omicron is with nasal washes. So we do nasal washes with povidone iodine or dilute hydrogen peroxide over the sink, squirt it up the nose, sniff it back, spit it out, do it twice. It zaps the virus. By dropping the viral load, the body's natural immunity can begin to handle it. Omicron was unique because it broke through natural immunity and it broke through vaccine immunity. And every single report in the United States to this day indicates more cases of Omicron in the fully vaccinated than in the unvaccinated. Now, keep in mind, many unvaccinated people already have natural immunity. So, you know, natural immunity is the backstop. Omicron conferred immunity against other Omicron subvariants as well as closed the door on Delta. So Delta basically went away. Thank goodness.
Right.
Delta was a much harder outbreak. I think you had Delta.
I think I did, too, and I was sick as a dog. And then I got on ivermectin. I got on zinc. Dr. Zelenko put me on some antibiotic. If you said the name, I'd know it. The antibiotic he likes.
It was azithromycin?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I tried fighting it off myself for over a week, but I couldn't. I just was going down, down, down. Got on that. Within 24 hours, I started feeling much better.
That's so gratifying to hear. You know, I had gone on Joe Rogan since I've seen you last. And
Joe Rogan
had gotten sick, and Joe Rogan had received what's called the McCullough Protocol, which I worked on with Dr. Zelenko. We published together in the final version, December of 2020. And Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Packers, had received the McCullough Protocol. They had been communicating. Joe wanted to have me on. So I had prepared for about a month ahead of time. I had scientific slides as a base that were curated by the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. So these were high-quality, cited scientific slides. I told Joe's producers, I'm going to go in, no opinion, no hyperbole, just the straight data. And I opened up my laptop, showed the slides. Joe asked good questions. Good journalist, insightful, contributed greatly. It was 3 hours. This went through a transcript review later on. It became actually the most downloaded and listened to Joe Rogan podcast of all time. But from December 8th, when I went on, to December 27th, we had over 40 million downloads and views.
Oh,
and then there was the blowback. Then blowback from Neil Young and Spotify and Prince Harry. Then even more people wanted to hear the truth.
And can you believe you went on there with science, slides and science and documentation? I thought these people were all about follow the science.
Well, yeah, I tweeted out, I said, Spotify's doctors never asked for the slides. Now, I was being facetious. I don't expect Spotify to have doctors. Spotify is like a common carrier. And it's interesting how Joe Rogan, in the context of this, is Joe Rogan had brought on Brad Weinstein and Pierre Corey ahead of me. They went over the pandemic and specifically ivermectin. I went on broadly as a treating doctor and covered the entire range. And then after me was Dr. Robert Malone, who's a preclinical scientist, contributed greatly to vaccine development. And then most recently came on Majid Nawaz and from the UK, and he went over the global reset and the digital passport. And if you saw Joe Rogan's facial expressions during the
watch,
Joe was just like, his jaw was dropping.
He'd been red-pilled, right?
Right, his jaw dropped. And then now Joe Rogan came out with a wonderful video. And he drops the F-bombs a few times. But I can tell you, Joe Rogan said, when you start to see censorship, get alarmed because freedom is being taken away.
Yes.
And he's right.
Well, we've gone over the last week the document put up by the World Economic Forum on digital agency. The digital agency, the World Economic Forum. And in that, they talk about the fact that they're going to have your digital identity, your banking, your ability to get online, ability to have third-party social media, your ability for travel, your ability to vote. It's in their own graft. I mean, we showed the chart from the World Economic Forum saying this is what we want. But we knew this in early 2020. Our TV show was the first TV show to talk about the World Economic Forum's interactive wheel. Nobody else. I went out there online looking. But it was so, I mean, they had just released the interactive wheel. And I'd been following the World Economic Forum. But no one. So we put it on the air in early 2020. Said, look at this interactive wheel they've got, and you could spend days on their interactive wheel. But right on their interactive wheel, you had digital ID, digital economy, right? So we know that the coronavirus pandemic emergency bill rolls out with a digital dollar in there, and then for some reason they pull it right out. It didn't stay. But the point I'm making is the World Economic Forum is now saying, yes, we're going to go to a digital ID. And even your ability, they say in there, your ability to get a bank loan will be based on looking at your social credit score and things. It's right in their own document. We showed the, you know, so when people like Joe Rogan and others see this, they realize this is not conspiracy. These people are bragging what they're going to do.
You can imagine, what would a Canadian or an American trucker do with their social credit score once they've been in
right.
a rally, right?
Exactly
right. What would your social credit score be if we went on with Brandon House and we
right.
had a fair discussion?
Yep.
What would my social credit score be going on with Joe Rogan? What would Joe's?
Right.
You can imagine here that the principles I think you're bringing up are what Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan published on COVID-19 and the Global Predators. Everything's in the open. There's nothing concealed.
That's right.
It's in the open for everyone to see.
I had on the Chinese lady. I want your thoughts on her, please. Dr. Yin. I had her on for an hour, and we've been texting back and forth, and she texted me afterwards, and she said it was really a positive interview for her, and I think one reason why it was is I let her talk, right? But I also had to sometimes stop and repeat what she said because her
right.
beautiful, thick accent, you know, make sure our audience understands it. But I let her talk and tell her story, but I also was very, very careful throughout the interview to say, look, we have to remember the distinct difference between the Communist Chinese Party and the Chinese people. the Chinese people, we love the Chinese people. Many of them love America, and many of them are aware of what we're doing in America. Many of them know that we care about them. We care about the underground church in China. We know the persecution. We know the many pastors that have been thrown in prison for having their churches. So I kept making a distinction between the CCP and the Chinese people, which I think is so important to do. But tell me, as she talked about being in Hong Kong with the World Health Organization and saying things early on, she talked about the fact they tried to poison her. She's now somewhere, you know, undisclosed for her own safety, but she's speaking out. And she, after the interview, she said, I'm happy to come back on any time. And she seemed like a very credible individual. Can we get your thoughts, please, on her reports?
She's highly credible. I've done a seminar with Li Mingyang at the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and then in some other venues. She is a Chinese scientist, and she understands that the coronavirus was being intentionally manipulated to be more infectious and to be more deadly, and that it was intentional. I think what she brings is this insight that it was intentional. And when the CCP found out that she was going to break, what she's told me is that they actually enlisted her husband to be the person to try to poison her and kill her. It was an attempted homicide. She escaped that. She's come to America. She has 24/7 surveillance. We've met her surveillance team. And she moves around the
country. For her own protection.
For her own protection. You can imagine. And I agree with you. I've been to China 5 times. We cannot generalize on the Chinese. Right down Media Row is Epoch Times.
Yes.
They have wonderful Chinese backing and journalists, and they are beacons of freedom. Boy, Epoch Times, and I've been to their headquarters. I've worked with their journalists. They're wonderful. So we can't generalize, but what Li Miang brings to the fore, there was no doubt about it that there was ill intent with this from the very beginning.
And she talks about the communist CCP influence onto the WHO, that the WHO, and she's working with the WHO in Hong Kong, didn't want to sound the alarm and help, that they caved with the CCP.
You know, it is true. I mean, you can start to feel the world now. We've had 2 years of SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, emanating from China. We've been through it, but now you sense weakness, right? So this invasion into Ukraine seems to be almost like a cakewalk. If there is an invasion or takeover of Taiwan, there's a concern. Again, it's going to be a cakewalk. The world has been destabilized, and the powers of freedom have been weakened.
We want to keep you but a few more minutes because I know you're in high demand. But let me ask you a couple more questions in relation to this. Getting doctors up to speed. You know, doctors are like anybody else in any profession. They don't know everything. They have to learn. It's practicing medicine, right? So a lot of doctors saw this, and they're like, what? And then they started researching and working together, you and Dr. Zelenko and others, and you then start putting out information to people. But there's a learning curve, right, even for doctors, right? So Dr. Yin, am I saying her last name correctly?
Yeah.
Dr. Yin was saying that what America needs to do now is get our doctors up to speed about some of the other potential pandemics that could come out of China. How can, if the government is not going to do it, I'm guessing now what we see forming are organizations like yours and other groups that are going to try to say, okay, here's the pandemic that's come out, here's the protocols, here's what we need to do. In other words, has this been a good dress rehearsal for what could be coming more of?
Actually, that's a great question. It's a dress rehearsal in the sense that we've changed. We know the publication process is too long. And so we have now learned to accept what's called the preprint server system. So when someone has data, the manuscript is assembled, we can pre-publish it on a preprint server system. It still has some peer review. There has to be an editorial decision to let it get up there. But what we tend to do is look past the author's conclusions and interpretations, and we look at the data so we can rapidly get the information out. We have very quickly moving organizations now. So in the United States, we have American Frontline Doctors, Frontline Critical Care Alliance. We have True for Health Foundation. We have Trial Site News, which is a scientific, very rapid cycle news, Epoch Times Health now. And so we are being so much more fluid in sharing information. And when things come out now, I think we're very well prepared. We weren't communicating before, and it takes all disciplines. I can't tell you in our circles how much we rely on hematologists, oncologists, because of blood disorder issues. Cardiologist, myocarditis, cardiovascular.
And by the way, we should remind the audience, you are a cardiologist and an internist and a virologist, right?
Well, you know, I maintain my boards in internal medicine and cardiology. And I've maintained those boards now. I'm in my fourth decade. I've done 2 years of study on COVID-19. I have over 50 papers. In a sense, I've done a fellowship in infectious disease. And I have a formal training and a master's prepared in epidemiology from University of Michigan. So I was very well positioned as someone who is a clinician, and I see and examine patients, but also evaluate a lot of data to step forward and take a leadership role. But I still think we've got a long ways to go. I had a patient actually last week say, my doctor has not seen me in 2 years. He's still doing telemedicine. And what I told her, she was recovering from COVID. I said, COVID patients have a very unique lung exam. They have a very unique chest x-ray and CT pattern. Until doctors come out of their shell and start taking care of patients, they're not going to get the clinical sense of what's going on.
Are you worried about what the next pandemic could be? I mean, Dr. Yin was on our show saying she's concerned about the hemorrhagic fever and it being tested over there. And she was saying, look, some of the areas where we're hearing where people may have this and are locked in happens to also, voila, be the same city or town where they're testing an antidote. And she said, I'm not saying for sure that they're going to release this, but I am telling you, I'm very concerned that they're working on something like the hemorrhagic fever, which of course looks, I guess, a little bit like Ebola with bleeding and whatnot. And she was saying it dies out quickly if you isolate people. It has a 10 to 90% death rate depending on how you behave, but if you can isolate the infected, you can burn it out pretty quick due to the death rate. But she said from a psychological standpoint, it could just be a mess for any country.
It's true. Any disease coming forward now, I think many people with ill intentions for the world may have viewed, wow, look what COVID-19 did, SARS-CoV-2, could basically influence a new world order. And then very importantly, I think people have realized, wait a minute, infection, vaccine, this is actually a new method of power
warfare
and control, and a new method of warfare. Maybe we won't see conventional warfare, although we're seeing it right now in
Ukraine. This is the new way of warfare.
This may be the new way. I can tell you, I've been to China 5 times. I flew into Terminal 1 in Beijing, and it's the largest square footage under one roof in the world, and it's all glass, as far as you can see glass. And I thought to myself, China is not going to physically attack anyone. But if they do make an attack, maybe it's through these other means, through electronics, financial, bio-warfare, etc.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the new way of warfare for a long time. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry and many others, I don't know if you know who he is or not, but brilliant mind. He's a regular with us, and he's been warning us, and he's in our documentaries on the new way of warfare. I don't know if you know this, but in 1999, two Chinese communist colonels wrote a document that we've been talking about for years. I mean, I can show you where we did whole TV shows on the document, that thick, okay? 1999, two Chinese communist colonels wrote it, and years ago we were doing full TV shows showing the screenshots of this document, Unrestricted Warfare. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
You know what the document says? It says we're going to go with the new way of warfare, and one of them is going to be releasing bioweapons on the American people, so the things that we used to think were safe will now be scary to people, like hugging someone, you know, touching someone.
Oh, my Lord.
So in 1999, the communist Chinese colonels wrote a whole book, which you can go online and see it, Unrestricted Warfare. And in that new way of warfare, they said a bioweapon, it will have a massive psychological impact on the American people.
My
so
Lord.
They know what they're doing.
That's the reason why people are listening to Brandon House. That's the reason why so many of my patients listen to Brandon House, because of this. Somebody has to be ahead of the curve, and I give you great compliments
well,
in doing
kind.
That.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank
so
you.
In closing, promote your website. You have a daily podcast, or how often is it? Is it daily or weekly?
Yeah, so you can follow me on America Out Loud Talk Radio, the McCullough Report. I issue a report to the nation. It's in podcast format. It comes out of the America Out Loud platform. It's unassailable. It's unfiltered, uncensored. And it comes out on Saturday and Sunday at 10, encores at 7, and then it goes on to the podcast circuit on Tuesday. What's unique about it is I'm interviewing people from all over the world, because this is a worldwide problem. I even have a music segment that Eric Clapton helped me get started.
Oh,
which
really?
Is wonderful. Although, this last, I was over the line at the last issue, because I had Kid Rock on, And it was expletive city, and it's going to be, so just,
but
it's
Eric
too much.
Clapton has a story himself. He almost lost his career.
Yes, and Eric's done some wonderful music about medical freedom. What Eric says, and we're friends with him, that, you know, listen, he made a choice, and he knew he made a choice, but it's a choice. And he believes strongly it should always be a choice, and where there's risk, there must be choice.
Final question. I have a relative who has a pacemaker, and he watches what we do. My wife keeps him highly informed on what's going on, right? And his doctor is really pushing him to get the vax, and he was really, really pushing back. No, 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 no. He's 84. And he got really sick with what we all had, okay? And now his hands have swollen up. Hands have swollen up really good. And I got ivermectin prescribed by Dr. Zelenko for him, but some relatives were like, wait a minute, because of his pacemaker and stuff, we're concerned, and I'm not sure we should give him ivermectin. So how concerned do people have to be that are family members that have an older relative that are trying to help them take something like ivermectin, but they've got a heart issue or they've got a pacemaker and whatnot? And so he never took it, and he never took the ivermectin that I'm aware of, and now his hands are swelling up like arthritis. Are these some of the side effects of some of these things?
Well, you know, there's a paper out in the preprint service system from the National Institutes of Health. The first author is Chertow. It's concerning. The virus is actually inside the human body much longer than we ever thought. And it's actually replicating at a low level. And the longest person in the Chertow NIH series, 230 days that the virus is in the body. So swelling, this post-immune reaction. There are some post-COVID protocols being tested, one by Yale, that actually does feature ivermectin. I try to stylize my practice in the absence of any randomized trial data. But ivermectin, perfectly safe for cardiac patients, those with pacemakers. The only caveat with ivermectin is largely those who have neurologic problems, epilepsy,
right,
lower the seizure threshold. Hydroxychloroquine, the concerns are along the heart lines. If there is a history of heart arrhythmias around the medicines that can prolong the QT interval, hydroxychloroquine, a concern in African Americans with a enzyme deficiency called G6P deficiency. So doctors can navigate these drugs. You know, by the way, the new Pfizer drug may actually have an application in that as well. But we need research in post-COVID syndromes, and we need research and vaccine injury
syndrome. So can the ivermectin knock out some of the post-COVID symptoms?
It's possible.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Great having you here with us. Dr. Peter McCullough and his lovely wife off here to the side, and he's wearing his pin today in honor of his son, who's an Eagle Scout, who's in medical school. It's not like he was an athlete as well.
He was.
All around American.
Thank you.
And we have a close affinity for this topic because he has his son that he's proud of. We got our son, my sons I'm proud of, who are here on the Logan, who he knows and deals with, and now he's met my other son. So we love it when we have family working with each other, don't we?
Thank you.